The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. So, Nicole, I have a new, I guess, assignment, request of you.
Okay.
So I just heard in Aaron's newscast that Dow Constantine is going to name the new King County Sheriff tomorrow. Would you see if you could use your Nicole Thompson charm, slip on the old velvet tongue? Do you think maybe we could forge a better relationship with this sheriff than we have with the current sheriff?
Well, I've heard rumors about who that person's going to be. And if the rumors are correct, I'm not sure that's going to happen. But I think we'll regardless, it will be better than it has been.
Wait, why haven't I heard these rumors?
I don't know. I guess your sources aren't as spilling as mine.
Wow. But I'm going to have trouble with this person, too?
Well, I don't know. Let's see who it is. But we will definitely attempt a better relationship. And I think that just based on it not being the current sheriff's attitude, personality.
Yeah, missing in action.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So just not being that person, we should have a better relationship.
Well, it can't get any worse.
And you know what? It all depends on how that person treats the officers, right? Because that's what we're so frustrated
about.
Well,
that's part of it. But, I mean, as far as just personal interactions, Mitzi Jo Hanknik, we had it confirmed, she prohibited people from saying my name in her presence. That seems a little wackadoodle to me.
It does.
There's something seriously wrong there.
Well, I think that she was good in the beginning, and then whoever Liz Rocha is to her now, gave her some bad advice of how to deal with us, and it didn't turn out well. So
no, and everything's gone to heck in a handbasket since then. All right, so well, I'll be curious to see. Tell me after the show who you think it's going to be, the new sheriff.
I don't know for sure. I've just been given.
No, but you have a guess. I don't even have a guess. So, yeah, tell me after the show. We'll see. See if you get it right. All right. I got a lot of stuff to get to here. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I have to tell you. And, you know, I'm trying not to play the rags to riches card too often because it gets annoying. But I will say that as a kid and into my 20s and into my 30s, I didn't have any insider advantage with anything I ever did. I didn't have, my mom certainly was not connected with anybody who was, you know, powerful and could help put a hand down, pull me up a couple rungs on the ladder. And I realized kind of quick that there's only one way, since I don't have the advantage of, and I don't begrudge people who help out their own kids if they have contacts. I really don't, because I would, but none of my daughters ever wanted that. The thing my daughters have done has been completely on their own without any intervention from my wife or me. But it does make life a little more challenging, because instead of being introduced to the right people, you have to find other ways to impress the right people. And here's what I've learned, especially if you're a young person listening right now. It's easier now than ever to impress people and to be successful in life, even if you have no connections. You know why? Because what you got to do is outwork your competition. And there are a lot of soft people in the work world right now who don't want to compete, who don't want to outwork anybody. So if you're willing to outwork your competition, you can still achieve. And the American dream can still be very, very, very much alive in this country. I bring all of this up because there's big expose in the Seattle Times yesterday about the King County Prosecutor's Office, Dan Satterberg, and all of the nepotism complaints within the office. And I will say, this doesn't sit right because it's government that is using government's power to provide family riches. Now, it's not that far removed on the morality scale from the people who do all the insider stock trading, like Nancy Pelosi and Kim Schreier over there in Issaquah, all these insider traders. That's what they're doing, too. But when you read through, they had 1,500 pages of investigation, and Satterberg's office said, yeah, we violated ethics rules. And some of it was pretty blatant. There was a guy who works in Satterberg's office, Mark Larson. And Mark Larson, he's a longtime chief of the criminal division. Mark Larson, they hired his son, Luke Larson, and his daughter-in-law to these paid prestigious internships with the King County Prosecutor's Office. The HR director's stepson got a coveted paid internship, even though a lot of other kids had been recommended before him. But he somehow leapfrogged all of the other kids. The office moved the HR director's stepson into a specially created civil division internship following his 2018 DUI arrest. That's where it starts getting infuriating. Because if you, as a kid of the privileged, if you think that you're somehow better than the rest, you get away with driving drunk and all of that, then it becomes a real problem that really hangs like a stink for the rest of people's lives. Because I've known guys like that. I've known guys who had everything handed to them when they were a kid. And they had the same entitled attitude throughout their entire life. I'll go into this in more detail in the days to come, because I'm checking a few other angles on this as well. But it's frustrating when you have a prosecutor who has legalized drugs, who has created, in my view, the single greatest crisis that we face as a region, and there's all of this nepotism going on, and they didn't come clean entirely when he settled a complaint against him. I think it's a problem, but it's Seattle politics, and I'm sure, I mean, because that would mean a dam would have to go after a dam, and they protect their own. All right, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
Well, this anti-cop mania has really been rearing its ugly head for the last couple of years, and it's happening in our schools, too. I spoke last year with the mom of a Bellevue school student who was nervous about them removing the school resource officer positions, and now some of her fears are starting to come true. Her name is Christine, and she joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Christine, good to talk to you again.
You too.
All right. So tell me what happened. You have a son who attends Sammamish High School, and tell me what happened to your son last week.
On Wednesday, which is a short day in the Bellevue School District, he was leaving school at midday, sunny, bright, lovely day in the middle of the day, and turned on the car, and he thought somebody that a Harley Davidson had just turned on next to him, is what he told us.
Yeah.
And it was, we didn't know at the time. He called my husband, panicked, he didn't know what was going on. So he started to look around the car, and it was loud. My son drives my husband's truck, which is a loud truck. I mean, it's not a loud truck, but it is a big engine. So It was an incredibly loud noise. We know now that his catalytic converter was stolen.
Yep.
And what's even more scary, I mean, that is terrible. It's a lot of money, $1,400. It's not really, you know, what we expect when we send our kids to school. We hope they come home with the whole car. But even more concerning was when he looked around the vehicle, there was a switchblade knife left under the truck with a Joker-like symbol, like the Joker from the Batman on it. Yeah. And, you know, we kind of found this out after we all got home and we're trying to kind of talk through it. So I immediately contacted the school and called the police because, it kind of went from like a theft to a like, this is scary because what if he had interrupted someone or another child had interrupted someone?
Sure.
And they obviously have weapons, at least one, right, that we know of. So
you and I talked about this issue last year and we did some research. We talked to the Bellevue Police Department and they said the school resource officers there had 6,700 documented interactions with kids.
Yes.
And of those 6,700 interactions, there was just one arrest. So these SROs, they're not there to arrest kids and to put them in jail. They truly are there to make the school and the campus and the kids more safe. And yet this, you know, this specter of evil has been assigned to them and it's just making our schools more dangerous.
Right. And I can tell you because I am the president of the football booster club, so I am there all the time, okay? I worked literally two blocks down the street, so I drive by the school all the time. And my daughter went there, too. So for the past 4 years, I've driven past the school, been involved in it. And the cop, when they were there, when they had the SRO program, parked their car right out front. I don't expect that things are never going to happen or that everything's going to be perfect, but it's just a deterrent, right? And we never had this issue. I do want to tell you, Dory, that I immediately went on to, like, the Sammamish High School parent Facebook page. I went on to School is Essential, and I reported it right after it happened to say, this is what's happening on our campus, beware. I had teachers from other schools reach out to me. I had there was a teacher the same day that got theirs stolen that my son did also. At Newport High School, they had three in one day, and we never heard anything about it from the district, number one. And number two, they were all messaging me privately saying, please don't use my name, because they're all afraid to say anything because you get so much backlash. When I spoke with you and others last May, I got put on Instagram by students saying, look at this woman, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's a mom at Sammamish, and like, you know, teenage doxing, I could care less, but it was right. Like, I get why people are afraid to speak up because they go after you, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the two layers of injustice that's happening right now. First of all, there are just absolute lies being told about the police. So that's why they get rid of them. And then this terrorism of anybody, you know, what they do to anybody who speaks out. And I talked to a 13-year-old girl about a week and a half ago on my show, and she was a very sweet girl. She's a very conservative girl. And she says the amount of hatred that is directed at her simply for having conservative principles is absolutely shocking. And so I do know, and I know from personal experience, that there are lots of people who are afraid to speak out because you sound like you're pretty tough. I know that I've been through more than my share of these battles, and I don't care what people say. But but for people who are just going through it for the first time, or parents or teenage kids, it can be devastating. And it shouldn't be tolerated, but it's the culture that has been bred all too often.
I will tell you, it's bred 100% and on purpose by the schools, because I'll tell you, in 24 hours, I reached out to two different principals because the principal that's assigned to my son didn't respond to me. And, you know, my thing is, okay, yeah, we got something stolen, but there was a knife. Now, if my son brought a knife to school, just as an FYI, my son wore a T-shirt that they didn't like, and I got an email home within 5 minutes. It was a whole big thing, but this didn't warrant a response. And only got a response after I went above her, after I went to the person at the district, then I went to the security department, and all of a sudden they cared. All of a sudden they were like, oh, probably because it's my kid, they were probably like, oh no, not this woman again. But I literally was freaked out that my son could walk out any day and have this happen. They're telling me they can't see anything on the videos that they have. They don't have any security. They have no way of making sure that the kids are safe. I've gotten the runaround. It's slowly shifting because I think maybe other people, or maybe he was the first student that got hit with the catalytic converter or whatever. I don't know. But we pay for these parking spots and they're not ensuring that our kids are safe. There's nobody monitoring the parking lots. Just on a side note, what else is happening in the parking lots? You know, we were all young once. We know what happens.
Sure.
And it's a frustration that I have with this runaround that you get from the school district. And parents are not speaking up. And I have to say, I don't know why. Because if just a few parents would say something, they will do something. They just had an incident at Newport High School on Friday where there was a giant walkout because a girl was abused at school and they don't want to talk about it. So the students made a big thing about it and they locked the school down and called the cops on the students. And if they're trying to like hide what's happening, you know, they're trying to hide that there's not perfection, which nobody expects perfection. You know?
No, but that's the problem. And, you know, we're seeing it in Loudoun County, Virginia, where a school board covered up the rape of a girl because they decided their social justice goals were more important than the security of the children. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that in adult life where, you know, we have the most number of murders and shootings and property crimes ever here in King County. And it's all because of policies embraced by radical leftist politicians. And until we start getting away from that, then we're gonna have more and more of these troubles.
I know. And, you know, I just want to say again, it's not about the catalytic converter. That part was a bummer. But there was a weapon involved, and who knows what else was involved and who would have stumbled upon that. And maybe they were stumbled upon because that's why it was left there. I don't know.
Sure.
But it's very scary. It was a sunny, bright day facing a main street, and they did not care. So, you know, be careful. And you're not going to get help from this. From our school district, and probably not any of them, to be honest.
Yeah,
so.
It's a shame. Well, keep me posted.
I will. Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah.
I think we're scaring them a little bit because finally, after about 6 or 7 emails back and forth, I was told by the security department that Superintendent Jarvis, he's our new superintendent, is going to reimagine the SRO program. They did not tell me when that would happen or what that means, and we can all imagine. But it is coming, so I'm assuming they got enough pressure to some degree to start some sort of security thing again. I'm not holding my breath, but, you know, I asked them what they're going to do in the interim, but I haven't heard back yet. So
I'm laughing because I'm so tired of the word reimagine. It's
become
one of the new buzzwords of all these people.
You have to laugh.
Yeah, exactly. Christine, thanks for keeping me posted, and
let
me know if there are any other interesting developments.
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay, you bet. That's Christine. She's a mom of a kid at Sammamish High School. Catalytic converters getting stolen. Switchblades in the parking lot. But let's get rid of all the cops. Let's make the schools more dangerous for our social justice values. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We are going to check the news for you, and then, well, look at this, that little scamp. Donald Trump is back in the news today? Wonder what he has to say. We'll check that out, and our awesome audio of the day, all straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
This hour of the Dory Monson Show is brought to you by West Coast Armory North.
Oh, okay. So that's who the new sheriff's going to be. All right. I appreciate all my tipsters, all my inside sources, all of Nicole's tipsters and inside sources. I'm not going to give it away. I still respect the process. And if Dal Constantine wants to make the big announcement tomorrow, who am I to take the wind out of his sails? So Yeah, we'll start working on that relationship. Toot sweet. Okay, Donald Trump is back in the news. Here's something horribly troubling that's going on in our country, and it is the intentional destruction of the middle class. You may have seen the Congressional Budget Office started scoring Bidenflation's Build Back Broke plan, where he wants to pour a couple trillion more into the economy. And it will raise taxes on the middle class, even though he promised not a penny. And it will give big tax breaks to the wealthy who live in states where you can't claim your sales tax as a deduction. And now you'll be able to. So huge tax breaks for multi-millionaires, and the middle class will pay more. But there's something more insidious happening right now. Now, as I talked about in the last segment, if you're willing to outwork your competition, this is as good a time as any to make your own way in America. Because a lot of the competition, so-called competition, they're a lot of them, not everybody, they're lazy bums sitting at home watching The View and All My Children and whatever school is being advertised on Channel 11. And they're waiting for the check to come in the mail that Uncle Joe's sending them, and you're fine. You're fine. Now, you're not going to be able to ever rise up from where you are with that mentality, but even if you're getting all that stuff, you could go out and work, and anybody right now can go find a $18 an hour job at a fast food place if they want to. And all of a sudden, instead of making $40,000 a year, you're making almost $80,000 a year. But no. Too many games to be played to go out and work like that. So what's happening? Well, we got the people who are already predisposed to being lazy, just sitting home waiting for Joe Biden to send them a check. And then you have legitimate blue-collar working-class people who make good money. I mean, you can make six figures in a lot of trades, and a lot of them are getting squeezed. The vaccine mandate, when Biden shut down the pipeline, and we're seeing just an awful lot of good blue-collar manufacturing jobs disappearing. And once again, threatening to leave the country because of rising income taxes on corporations. Because Joe just keeps telling him, pay your fair share. Just pay your fair share. And we've created two classes. The wealthy, who are an endless supply of taxation, and the poor, who have an endless need for other people's money. And the poor will be forever beholden to government for getting anything they can and want in life. And the wealthy will set up offshore havens so that Joe can't get too much of their money. And then things really start to squeeze. And that's when you have a country economically that's in some serious trouble. So Donald Trump, he's been talking about a lot of stuff. He was on with Mark Levin this weekend, and he talked about gas and climate issues and all that.
Well, I know what I'm dealing with, and I knew this during the debates. I knew this during the election. I said, your gasoline will go to $7, and then it'll go much higher. That's exactly happening. I knew what they were going to do. But they lied during all of this. They didn't say they were going to close up the oil industry. You know, I did something that a good friend of yours, Ronald Reagan, couldn't do. I got ANWR approved in Alaska. It's the biggest oil site probably in the world, probably as large as Saudi Arabia, maybe larger. I got it done. Reagan couldn't do it. Most of the others didn't try. Bush was too busy getting us into a stupid war. They didn't try. But nobody could get it done. I got it done. Nobody could believe it. And I got it done. And they just ended it. And they ended all drilling. They ended leases. We're going now to OPEC. We had so much. Okay, so we were bigger. We're energy independent. And when I left, we were bigger than Russia and Saudi Arabia. In 1 year, we would have been bigger than both combined. It's one of the great assets. We have oil. We have, I call it gold under our land. China has none. Russia has, but China has none. Big disadvantage for China. We have it. They're taking it away. You know, all I see today is about the environment. I'm a big environmentalist, believe it or not. I believe clean air and clean water. They want to destroy our country. But Russia, and then the Paris Accord, I ended it because Russia doesn't have to adhere. China said we don't have to get involved for many, many years from now. India is barely even a member of it. But the United States would have to close 20 to 25% of its factories in order to admit, in order to adhere to what they're supposed to do. We have the most stringent. And this guy put us back in. And I don't know if you know, I think you do, that last year, in my last year, we had the cleanest air and the cleanest water that we've ever had in our country for, let's say, 40 or 50 years, because I assume 200 years ago, it was clean, right? There weren't so many people.
Okay, so we are seeing gas trending in that direction. We are seeing that we have to go to OPEC. If they want to squeeze us now with Anwar shut down and all, we just don't have the supply anymore. And he also said, and I've been saying this for a long time, that we are no longer living by our Constitution.
So, number one, I love our country, and our country is based on the Constitution. And, you know, our country is not living up to the Constitution right now with the kind of things you see. It's they're trying to subvert it, and more so now than anybody would ever believe.
And I'll give you a perfect example of that. Baronelle Stutzman, the Tri-City florist, who Bob Ferguson, our attorney general, tried to destroy, wanted her out of business, because even though there were 20 florists nearby that would love to do flowers for a gay wedding ceremony, she said because of her faith in Christ and her religious outlook and her reading of the Bible, she was good friends with this customer. She loves the guy. Had sold him flowers for years and years, but she just said, I didn't want to be part of a gay wedding. Well, Bob Ferguson wanted to destroy her, and our state constitution is so clear about this, but we have a Supreme Court and we have an attorney general that absolutely ignore our state constitution. And when that happens, then anarchy isn't too far away. So I will keep fighting back, holding back the anarchy with my little broom. Okay, we will count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. What a way to kick off the week. But man, earlier this afternoon, I was lamenting and just nervous. I get nervous. My oldest and her husband traveling. They left today for someplace out of the country that feels dangerous to me. I'm not going to say where. It's nobody's business. Then Nicole, you're going across country tomorrow.
Yes, I'm excited to find some sun, some warm weather.
What's the weather down there in FLA?
I think it's in the upper 70s during the day.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll just be here Tuesday and Wednesday working away. Have I taken fewer days off this year than ever in my history? I think so.
No. I don't think fewer. I mean, you took
I didn't take any summer vacation. I took a week a couple weeks ago. I took a week in the springtime. Right. And that's
I think
it.
You took a July vacation, though. I don't think you went too far, but I think you took some days off, right?
No, I haven't done anything. I had to burn 7 weeks of vacation this year, and I think I've used two.
Well, yeah, that's just ridiculous. Sorry, you don't get
and seven. We can only carry over two. So, I'll try to take the end of the year off. I'll take a week or two around Christmas or New Year. I just don't take any vacation anymore. I'm too obsessed with this radio show.
I appreciate your work ethic that way.
I know, but
it would not. I think it's not fair to the listeners when you're gone all the time.
I agree.
Us part of their day and every day.
I totally agree.
I do believe you should take a break once in a while. I mean, I obviously need it once in a while. I acknowledge, and that's good for you. But man, 7-8 weeks. I mean, I could not imagine you not being here for those weeks.
Well, Bruce Springsteen, many years ago, he was the keynote speaker at South by Southwest. And he is a very hard worker. And, you know, he still is. He'll still do 3-hour shows. And he gives it everything he has. And you know, somebody asked him, why? Why do you do that every show? How can you expend that much energy? And he said, when somebody buys a ticket to one of my concerts, that is our handshake. That is him saying, I'm going to give you some money, and that is me saying, I'm going to give you the very best show I'm capable of giving. And I love that. I love that work ethic that Springsteen has. Don't love his politics all the time, but I respect and admire that work ethic. I think it's really, really cool. And that's the way it is, you know, because we've gotten listeners in greater numbers than we've ever had in 26 years. And if people are going to be that loyal and listening every single day to us, then we're going to do this. We're going to be here. It's our ticket. Our handshake is our ticket. And with all that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, still somehow relevant. And he was on CNN this weekend, and he says that he is encouraging Joe Biden and Jay Inslee and everybody else who will listen to him to change the definition of fully vaxxed. That if you want to be fully vaxxed, you now have to prove that you've gotten 3 injections. And then in a few months, it'll be 4 and 5, because they're telling us that it wears off after a couple of months. And it's going to be a permanent revenue stream for Moderna and Pfizer. And we'll just keep getting injected and injected and injected.
We're going to be doing the best we can to keep the American public optimally protected. If that means that's going to be a boost that will absolutely everyone will have to have, then so be it. We'll do it that way. But it will be guided by the science. And people should not be put off by the fact that as time goes by and we learn more and more about the protection, that we might modify the guidelines. That's what we've been saying all along, by follow the science. Things change and you have to follow the data.
Yeah, but every time you say something, you say it with some level of certainty. And then you do a complete flip-flop a week later. And so you're not following science, because you shut out everybody who has, you know, if somebody says, yeah, I'm fully covered because I had COVID and I have the antibodies. No, you still have to get the vax, or else we'll fire you from your job. That's not following science. So stop with that already. A doctor on CNN says, if you are flying in an airplane, do not order anything to drink. No soda, no water. Because then you have to take your mask off while you sip it, and that's a no-no.
It's just solid recommendation for every traveler to travel with a KN95 mask. You know, if you try and travel with just sort of a bandana around your face, first of all, the airlines won't let you on. Second of all, it won't really offer you much in the way of protection. So everyone should travel with a good mask. Secondly, I think when you're on an airplane, I would skip the small glass of soda. Leave your mask on during the flight.
That's solid science right there. Follow the science. And then this was a cool story. A mom down in California, she's walking out to the car with her 9-year-old daughter, and a guy's stalking her and then just races after the mom and tries to rip her purse away. The 9-year-old daughter, instead of cowering in terror, jumped out of the car, ran around because the guy had the mom down on the street, and the 9-year-old starts punching the guy in the face.
Next thing I know, I saw him running towards my mom.
And then you went around the other side, right?
Yeah.
And you punched him?
Yeah.
Where did you punch him?
On his head.
And the old face. And she says then the guy was so startled because the mom was fighting back. She wasn't letting go of the purse. The daughter's punching him in the face. And then he started to run away. The 9-year-old started to chase the guy.
How far did you chase him, Journey?
4 blocks down. Wait, 4 blocks.
4 houses.
Down. Yeah, 4 houses down.
I love this girl. And mom was asked, is she a hero?
Yes. We definitely don't want her, you know, going after people in the future. We told her to run and get help next time. Because she's a brave little girl, but, you know, on the backside of it, you know, we still have to deal with, you know, the physical aspect, which we're somewhat healing from now, but it has taken a mental toll on the both of us. So, you know, that'll be a long, slow process of healing mentally.
There you go. 9-year-old Journey, who jumped in, threw some punches at her mom's attacker. Like that kid. All right, I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today, but I'll think up a bunch of cool stuff for tomorrow's show. The Tom and Curly Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon!